Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Each of us has a strong desire for intimacy, but keeping our sex drives under control is one of our biggest challenges. Sex in its proper place is a great gift, while passions out of control can ruin one's future. That's why God gave us commandment number 7. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, today your topic will be living with your passions. These days, it seems most people simply do what feels good.
And you know, Dave, that's exactly what our media encourages us to do, to go with that which feels good. Let me ask a question to all those who are listening today. Does holiness matter? Well, ask Nadab and Abihu. Their story is in the book of Leviticus. They offered strange fire before the Lord. They worshiped the true God. But even though they were worshiping the true God, they were struck dead because they did it in a wrong way. Holiness matters. I've written a book entitled Why Holiness Matters, The Ten Commandments, Jesus and You. Simply go to rtwoffer.com for a gift of any amount. It can be yours. rtwoffer.com or call us at 1-888-218-9337. Meanwhile, let's go to the pulpit of Moody Church where we discover that God expects sexual purity.
When you talk to people today, they'll tell you that the Ten Commandments are basically out of date. There's one commandment especially that receives a lot of criticism and ridicule today. It's the seventh commandment, which says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Thou shalt not commit adultery. But of course, we're living in a day and age when our nation is inundated with sensuality. Consequently, we have things such as pornography that tell us that relationships with anyone at any time, under any circumstance, are okay, just as long as they are pleasurable. And then, of course, we have movies that teach that the rich and famous are involved in wife swapping and all kinds of evil and sensuality, and people think that's just the way it is. J. Allen Peterson, in his book entitled The Myth of the Greener Grass, says that there was a woman who was attending a class to learn French. She was with 11 other women, and one of the women said, "All those of you who have not been unfaithful to your husband," in other words, if you've been faithful to him, "how many of you have been? Raise your hand." Only one out of 11 raised her hand. Later on, this woman was telling her husband that, and he said, "Well, did you raise your hand?" And she said, "No." He said, "You mean you've been unfaithful?" She said, "No, I've been faithful." He said, "Why didn't you raise your hand?" She said, "I felt ashamed." Can you imagine that? We're living in a society where people are actually feeling ashamed because they're living a life of moral purity and fidelity. Television, that box that is in homes today that produces messages that are so damnable. One of the writers of TV script said that his goal is to get people to laugh at adultery, homosexuality, and incest. He said, if you can get people to laugh at these things, it breaks down their resistance to them. But nonetheless, regardless of what people say today, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And that means to have a sexual relationship with a partner who belongs to somebody else. Now, what I'd like us to do today is to look at some reasons why God gave that command and why we should obey it. Why should we look at the seventh commandment and say, even though it happens to be the 20th century, this command is still valid for today? Let me give you some reasons. First of all, because God gave the command, because of the command. I can imagine there's someone here who says, "You know, I always thought that the pastor belonged to the 20th century, but apparently he doesn't." Do you mean to tell me that we should obey this command just because God says it? And I say to you, yeah, we ought to, just because God says it. Isn't that reason enough? God says it, I believe it, that's good enough for me. But of course, today we want to pry behind God's thinking, and we want to find out why he says what he says. Well, first of all, let me say that God gave this commandment, first of all, so that there might be stability in the family, the stability of the family. If there's anything that a child craves, it is a mother and father who are committed to each other. Nothing causes more emotional hurt, more instability, more of a sense of the ripping apart of the security and the emotions than to know that father has run off because he has found someone else more attractive. But not only is it because of the stability of the family, God gave this commandment also because of our own emotional stability. Because there is something within us that says if we engage in sexuality apart from marriage, there is an inner destruction that takes place within. The Bible says in Proverbs that adultery destroys the soul. There is something within us that dies. Now, of course, all of us who have been pastors, and even those of us who haven't been, know that there are people today who say, but you have to understand, I am involved in a relationship that is meaningful to me. I remember a woman telling me, she said, you mean to say that this is wrong? She says, I live with an alcoholic. If I didn't have this affair on the side, I would have lost my sanity, she said. I finally find someone who understands me. A man told me one time, he says, finally I have found an oasis, and now you're telling me to go back to the desert. Well, let me simply say flat out that I do believe that there are some adulterous relationships that are very loving and caring. There's no question about that. The problem with an adulterer is that he breaks 6 of the 10 commandments in order to have his relationship. You say, really? Yeah, really. Well, he certainly breaks the 7th, thou shalt not commit adultery. But what is the 1st commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. An adulterer is somebody who says, I have found something that is more precious and more meaningful me to than God. I have found this relationship, and I don't care what God says, I need it. So he certainly breaks the 1st commandment that says, thou shalt not have other gods before me. Another commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness. An adulterer pledged his allegiance in the presence of God and witnesses that he would be true to that one particular person. And of course, he not only breaks that vow, but I have yet to see a case of adultery where the person doesn't lie to cover up his sins. And the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Furthermore, another commandment is, thou shalt not steal. You remember when Nathan came to David, he said, David, you have stolen another man's wife. She belongs to another man and you have taken her. You're guilty of stealing, David. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Almost always an adulterer dishonors his father and his mother. And he most assuredly breaks the commandment, thou shalt not covet, which says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor that which belongs to thy neighbor. That's actually where it begins. Do you see now why it is that a relationship outside of marriage that is so loving and so caring and so beautiful is actually so evil? It's because somebody who says that and lives that way has to shake his fist at God in order to have what he wants. Because God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The command of God. There's a second reason, and that is the consequences. And for this, I do want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 5 and also Matthew chapter 5. But I want you to notice it says in chapter 5 in Proverbs, my son, give attention to my wisdom, incline thine ear to understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, smoother than oil is her speech. But notice, in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Now let me say this, that those of us who have never been hooked on drugs, we can at least identify with people who have that sensation, because all of us understand the awesome power of sexual temptation. All of us have passions that are explosive, and given the right context with the right person, it's like throwing a match on a can of kerosene. And we can understand that there is nothing that promises as much as sexual fulfillment. There is something within us that says, if I have this relationship, it really doesn't matter what the consequences are. One day I happened to be flipping stations on a radio and just caught a song that, I forget the words, but the idea was something like this: I'll fulfill my desire today and I'll deal with the devil tomorrow. In other words, it doesn't matter what the consequences are, I will do my own thing. But I want you to notice that the Bible is very clear that when we give in to our passions, several things become true. First of all, there is an inner defilement. That is one of the consequences. It says in chapter 5, verse 21 of Proverbs, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all of his paths." You know, I think of all the things that couples have done to hide their sin, the elaborate plans that they make that they might not be found out. They have had telephones tapped, and they've had this and that, and their secret locations, and leaving in different directions and going in different cars and all that thing, because they want to say, we want to hide our sin from the eyes of men. But notice what the text says. The ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all of his paths. God sees. God sees. God sees. And therefore, you can't escape the inner deadening and defilement. The text says it goes down to Sheol, down to the grave. I remember a young woman who was 29 years old who came to me, and she said that she was single and a virgin until the age of 29, and then she became mad at God. You know, if you're 29 and unmarried, that's the time when you begin to think, here I am saving myself for somebody, and God isn't giving me a husband. I'll show him a thing or two. This young woman had a relationship with a man she didn't even respect, and it's very interesting. She said these words to me. She said, you know, when it was all over, it was almost as if, and she said, Pastor, believe me, this wasn't a voice inside of me. It seemed as if there was a voice outside of me that said, ha, 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 ha. Now you're defiled. Now you're defiled. Probably the voice of a demon. Now, of course, I was able to explain to that young woman that, of course, there is forgiveness in Christ, and it doesn't mean the end of the world. Immorality isn't the unpardonable sin. But isn't it interesting that if there's anything that Satan wants to do in our lives to cause inner defilement, oftentimes it has to do with that realm of sexuality, that the conscience that bothers us in the most intimate of all relationships, and there's been a violation of the Word of God, and there is that inner destruction. You know, it's interesting. David said, my sin was ever before me. Ever before me. I thought of it when I woke up in the morning. I thought of it in the evening. I thought of it at noon. I thought of it when the telephone rang. I thought of it when a friend showed up at the door. I wondered whether or not he knew. And there are people who have been involved in immorality who say that they are sitting in church singing the songs of Zion, and in what they want to be a most holy moment, all those thoughts come washing over the mind. There's an inner destruction, an inner defilement is one of the consequences. But then the other consequence is the outer destruction. The outer destruction. And that's when the whole thing blows up and it gets found out and the truth becomes known. That's what happens. And then the rejection and the hurt is beyond belief, because the scriptures indicate that you can take physical illness, but the wounded spirit, who can bear? And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 29, So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. The hurt of the person rejected and all of the consequences are as bitter as wormwood, the Bible says. I think of a friend involved in immorality who said that he had often prayed that he would die. Prayed that when he'd go to bed at night, he wouldn't wake up in the morning. The hurt, the devastation to his wife and his family. Unbelievable. Now, God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And in the New Testament, it says that whoremongers and adulterers, referring to all forms of immorality, whether you're single or married, God will judge. God will judge. And it can't be overlooked because it happens to be hidden, no matter how skillfully and brilliantly it is hidden. One day I was on a talk show in Canada, you know, one of those call-in programs where you get lots of interesting questions. And I received a phone call from someone who said this. Now, they said, Mr. Lutzer. Boy, when somebody says that, I know I'm in trouble. They said, what would you say in the case of a man who's married to a woman and either because of some accident or some physical disability, she's in the wheelchair for the rest of her life? Are you really telling me that even that man can't have an affair on the side? Asked in such a way as if to say, can you really be that stupid, Mr. Lutzer, as to say no to that? You know, we're living in a day and age when it seems as if our passions rule us, right? A man has a need, he's got to fulfill it. He can't be true to a marriage commitment just because he can't have his sexual needs fulfilled in a certain way. The obvious answer to that is, of course, a man like that should be true to his wife. Because if you make an exception for him, then what about those who are single? What about the widows? What about all the divorced people? Don't they have sexual desires too? Does God's word only apply in certain situations? All of the things that I've said about the consequences, all of the things that we have said about violating all of the commandments apply to every single situation. Your passions lie when they tell you they must be fulfilled, regardless of what God's word says. You know what God says about marriage? He says that the relationship in marriage is so special. And I'm so sorry that my message today is negative, because the commandments are rather negative. You know, people talk about the power of positive thinking. I want to preach a message entitled The Power of Negative Thinking, frankly. Tired of positive thinking. Now, the point is, speaking more positively. Sure, we throw it in for extra measure. God says that the marriage relationship is so special, it is so sacred, that there is no condition under which it should ever be violated. Because it's special, that's why. It's not just that God wants to rain on our parade. You know what it's like doing? When you commit adultery, it's like burning down a beautiful cathedral because you want to fry an egg because you happen to be hungry. You're demolishing something that God says is special, all because you think that there are some needs that have got to be fulfilled. The Bible says they don't have to be. There are all kinds of people who are living in prison today for the cause of Jesus Christ who do not have any sexual intimacy at all, and they are living. See, we are living in a society today where everybody says, well, if it's really a meaningful relationship and if it feels good, then do it. But God says, fornicators and adulterers, I will judge. That's God's saying it. So it really doesn't matter whether or not you get found out. God sees.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and that's very sobering, isn't it, to think that God is the one who sees. We cannot hide from Him. We're living in a day and age, of course, where we have very lax standards, even within the church. It's heartbreaking. And if it's heartbreaking to us, it most assuredly is heartbreaking to God. I've written a book entitled Why Holiness Matters. the Ten Commandments, Jesus, and you. In this book, what I attempt to show is that God has not changed. In the New Testament, we are told also to be holy even as he is holy. What a standard! I'm so glad, of course, that Jesus Christ stands between us and the holiness of God, but we need to recapture holiness in our own lives, in our families, and in our church. And I believe that this book will be a great blessing and a help to you. For a gift of any amount, it can be yours. Go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Or take down this phone number, 1-888-218-9337. If you've been blessed as a result of the ministry of Running to Win, remember that we are dependent upon you for your prayers, for your gifts, for your investment. That's why I give you this contact information once again, rtwoffer.com or 1-888-218-9337. Thank you to all who listened today, and most assuredly, let us remember, holiness does matter.
It's time now for another chance for you to ask Pastor Lutzer a question about the Bible or the Christian life. Sometimes marriages have to weather some really tough storms. An anonymous husband has written, asking for help. Here's his story. Because of surgery, my wife has lost all interest in sexual intimacy, but my desires have not changed. I don't want to sin mentally, so what should I do? We love each other, and divorce is out of the question. I'm heavily involved in Bible study and the church. Dr. Lutzer, what's your advice?
Well, my brother, a couple of comments. First of all, I'm sure that you've talked to your wife about this many times, but maybe you need to speak to her again, because biblically she does have an obligation to you. The Apostle Paul makes that clear in 1 Corinthians. So maybe even though at this point she has absolutely no interest, it is very important for you to discuss it, to talk about it, and maybe there is a way that the two of you can accommodate each other. Now, having said that, I do need to emphasize that if you go through life from this point on without sexual intimacy, millions of people have had the same experience as you have. There are those who have never married, who have desired marriage. There are those who, because they are widows or widowers, do not have the opportunity of any kind of sexual contact, and they survive. Now you say to yourself, well, you're struggling with lust in your mind. I can understand that. But at the same time, I've always taken the position that God gives us as many resources as we need to glorify him in the midst of our situation. I'm glad to read that you are involved in church, you are involved in Bible study. Those are the kinds of directions and vocations and emphases that you need to continue to follow. But at the same time, give yourself, your marriage to God, and remember, God is with you. Others have persevered and been victorious in the same state where you find yourself, and keep moving on. Don't let this become a stumbling block in your walk with God.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer, for your answer to his question. If you'd like to hear your question answered, go to our website at rtwoffer.com and click on Ask Pastor Lutzer, or call us at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. It's dangerous to get too close to a fire and to a possible sexual sin. That's why the seventh commandment teaches us to avoid all forms of such sin. The result? A life free of entanglements that can stop us in our tracks. Next time on Running to Win, more on the great damage done when sex is not kept within the framework of marriage. Don't miss the conclusion of Living with Your Passions. Running to Win is all about helping you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.